I'll be honest with you, if you cannot preach after singing like that, you cannot preach. And there is one thing that is important to someone who is going to preach, and that is that that people have their hearts provoked by the living God, and there is no better way to do that than by song. And that's why God says to sing, and I praise Him for that gift. This morning, we're going to talk about, Howard, what am I going to say now? Well, that was a joke, but joke's on me. This morning, we're going to talk about freedom, and last year, this time of year, at the 4th of July time, I handed out these little links of chain. Now, mine's on my keychain hanging in my office, and I see people furiously digging for them. Miss Gail, let me see yours. Remember these right here? I preached this sermon, and I gave these out last year at this time, and they're, as they show up all across bring these next week. Make sure you have your, go home, if you didn't get one, see me. I will have one for you. I've got plenty of them because I bought extra and I spent time. Because all these chains, they were all one big chain at one point, but then about 3 hours in a grinder wheel, and I made them into little chains, and they represented something. And I preached this sermon, contrary to popular belief, not at Easter, Matt, but at the 4th of July. And because it's about freedom. And so this week, with the 4th being kind of in the middle of the week, I'm going to preach two sermons about it. We're going to start this week and we're going to end next week. So bring your little piece of chain because we're going to do something with them. And if you don't have a little piece of chain and you want to be in on it, then see me and I'll get you one. I've got a basket of them in my office. And as a matter of fact, Hyatt, will you make your way to my office and get that and just put it on the table out front, out in the, there you go, and then come on back. We're going to be talking about freedom, freedom from tyranny, because that's what this time of year, that's what we're thinking about, and the 4th of July and our independence and the fireworks and the flags and everything that's going on is all about being freed from tyranny. And some 200 and some odd years ago, when the colonists decided, you know what, we've had enough of this tyranny, we've had enough of this oppressive foreign rule, and we're not part of that country. We're our own country, and we want to be free, and we want to be independent. And so they make that declaration, and they fight this battle, and you know, over time, you know, we are freed from tyranny. And I want to talk about a tyranny that's been going, that's been oppressing people, that's been enslaving people long before the British ever decided to. Long before anyone decided to enslave another person, there was this tyranny that existed and exists today. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read a little bit about this tyranny. And we're going to talk about freedom. And as Howard put it, I'm going to try to talk about it in a way that maybe will open up our eyes, that maybe will be a slightly different way of looking at it so that our lives can be changed, so that our transformation can move forward. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, this could be a rather lengthy reading, so just bear with me, but what shall we say then? Now, it's odd to open up with a question. But the question he's asking is an important question because it's coming on the heels of chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And it's all about having this faith that Jesus supplies, that Jesus transfers to us. See, when we take this communion, we're celebrating and recognizing and remembering the fact that God loves us so much that He does all the work possible. Everything that has to be done in order for us to be in a relationship with Him, He has done that. And so when we get together, we remember that and we take this communion, this beautiful gift of God that He's blessed us with, to remember that everything necessary for a relationship with Him is put into place. And there's And for anyone who wants a relationship with Him, who really, really wants one, who really wants to know God, who really wants to be free, you know, who wants to be out from under sin, anybody who really wants that, you can have it, and there's nothing you can do to mess it up. That's what He says in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so then He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with Him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who's died has been freed from sin. You see, the tyranny that's oppressed mankind before any government, before any civic institution, before any race decided to oppress another race, the tyranny that existed is sin. And it affects each one of us. But not in Christ. Because He says, in Christ we've been freed from sin. We're freed from this because we're, you know, before we're slaves to it. We do whatever sin tells us to do. We have no other option but to do what our broken natural selves, our sin nature has to do. Then we're slaves to it. But in Christ we're freed. So this morning, I want to investigate that. What does that mean to be free? What does it mean to experience freedom? What is freedom? I mean, we read about it. We say, in this time of year, we celebrate it. But do we really know what it is to be free? Do we really know what it means to be a free nation, to be a free people? Do we really know what it means to be freed from sin? So this morning, I've got some points on the back of your order of worship if you want to follow along, where I want to try to define it a little bit from what I've gleaned from Scripture and just meditating on this and praying about it. And as always, asking God to say what He says and to move me and my fallenness out of the way so that we can hear Him speaking. Because ultimately, that's our goal, isn't it? To hear the voice of God, for God to open the eyes of our hearts. Let's pray about that before we go any further. Father, I just come before You and I ask Your blessings on us, on me for the next 20 minutes or so. Father, I just pray that You would move me out of the way and that You would speak. Father, I pray that our ears, our minds, our hearts would be opened so that we can be different. We can experience more of You, Father, through the proclamation of Your word and the ingesting of Your truth. Father, open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts, open our minds. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So what is freedom? The first thing I want to say as we ask this question, what is freedom? Freedom is determined by what you want. It's determined by what you want. One of the questions that I always ask in counseling situations, whenever I have a man and a woman, or, you know, marriage and things are you know, going poorly, and when they want to come in and we talk about it, you know, and if it's sometimes it's really close to being over, and sometimes it's not so, and you know, and there's just things that you know we can't get past, and I always ask the same question. I always ask them each, individually, without the other one in the room, what do you want? I mean, what do you want? Because whatever you want is what you're going to do. That's what you're going to work towards. That's what's going to happen in your... Do you want to, you know, do you want to stay married? Well, aren't I supposed to? It doesn't matter what you're supposed to do. What do you want to do? Because that's what's going to determine what you do. Now, if you want to stay married, then you're going to have to change some things. Well, it's all hurt. No, it's not. If you want to stay married, sir, you're going to have to do this differently. And you're going to have to think this. And ma'am, if you want it, then you're going to have to do, because see, first of all, freedom is determined by what you want. Genesis chapter 3, the fall. It all started there. The fall of man. The fall of mankind. Because you see, remember that story, and God's telling, you know, he makes Adam and he makes Eve, and they puts them together, all the jokes about, oh yeah, he made Adam and that was a rough draft and then for the real thing. And, you know, and then God said, well, Adam, I'm going to make a woman. He goes, well, great. That's going to be awesome. He says, well, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. He says, well, what can I get for a rib? All right. So he makes Adam and he makes Eve and he puts them there and he says, you're free to experience, you're in the garden. And I'm going to take care of everything. And you don't have to wear any clothes. And you don't have the garden is perfect. And there's all this fruit and all these vegetables and all these animals. And you have all these pets. Read the Bible. There was no fear in the animals. Whatever, because Adam named them. And he's, hey, that's an elephant. It's a brontosaurus. And they just came up and just, those were his pets. They were, think about what that was like. And you're free. You're free to do whatever you want. You're free to eat of all of this stuff except this tree. You see, because you're not really free. Because wherever there is freedom, wherever there is freedom, there has to be restraint. Have you ever thought about, wherever there is freedom, there's got to be restraint somewhere. There's got to be this, this yes and no. To experience it fully, there's got to be something that, because it, not everything is available. Because if I'm free, think about this. I said this when I was a kid. Hey, get out of my yard. Hey, it's free country. Well, is it? Don't we have, are we free to do anything that we want to do? Well, yes. But there's consequences. There's things that will happen if you do this, then this will happen. Well, I thought I was, well, you are. So you have to ask yourself, what do you want? What do you want? What kind of life do you want to experience? What kind of marriage do you want to experience? What kind of country do you want? Because all of that is determined by what we want. Because that's what we're going to do. Because to be free means to be freed into one thing and to be freed from another. See, if we want to have the relationship that we say we want to have with God, if we want to have the Genesis chapter 1 type relationship, the no, nothing between us, God, just the, I want to be naked before you. I want to be completely dependent on you. Do we really? Because to be dependent on God, to have that kind of relationship, there is a lack of something. There's a lack of something. What are we willing to lack on behalf of a relationship with God? We ask that, we answer that question every day. What are we willing to lack in order to have to live in the country we live in? To experience what are you willing to, I want to drive a car. Okay, well, you're going to lack 75 and up because there's a speed limit. I want to drive. Well, you can't just drive through someone's yard. You got to stay on the road, I want to live it. So you got to ask yourself, what do you want? Because later on, and he says, we're freed from sin. Keep reading in chapter 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. When you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey. Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or slaves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin. You've become slaves to righteousness. We're free. Free to do what we want. You want to have a relationship with God? You're free to do that. You want to not have a relationship? You're free to do that, but you can't have both. Freedom is what is determined by what you want, because you, God established, we can do whatever we want. He goes on in 22, for the wages of sin, or in 22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. But what do you want? See, we have to determine that first, so that we can be truly free. Because when you're truly free, then you can forget about everything else, all the stuff, the consequences, the result, the everything that becomes of what we don't want, and then focus on what we want. That's what he talks about in Colossians chapter 3 when he says, set your mind on things above. You know why we vacillate so back and forth between, oh, I want to please God, ooh, but I want to do all that stuff, I want to please God. And they're like, well, can we keep on sinning? Because you just said in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 that, you know, God's done all this, and it's God, His righteousness, His Son, His sacrifice. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to proclaim, you know, to procure it. It's just you. Oh, you mean we get to do whatever we want? No. Because if you're a slave to God, if you're free from sin, that's not what you want. To set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Don't just change your diet, change your appetite. What do you want? Freedom is determined by what you want. Freedom is also unrestrainable. But Shane, you just said there's restraint. Yeah, I know that. I know I just said there's restraint. But within the freed person, whatever you want, that's what you're going to do. Look at Acts chapter 7. Great passage about freedom. Great example about freedom. I've used this. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it just tells you exactly what is possible for the freed man or the freed woman. Acts chapter 7 is the story of Stephen before the Sanhedrin. Stephen is absolutely overflowing with the Holy Spirit. He's overflowing with God. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember what we read, what Everett just read in 2 Corinthians. He said, God is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of God is, there is what? There's freedom. Wherever the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Stephen makes this long speech in chapter 7 about how awesome God is. And how God's done all these great things, how God has moved, how God has led, how God has secured, and how He has delivered, and how Jesus is the culmination of that, how Jesus is the truth and the light, and you know, he's just talking about, he's challenging them. He said, you haven't believed anybody, and your forefathers, they didn't believe the prophets, and you persecuted them all, and then you've murdered Jesus, and they cover their ears, and they're like, stop saying this. And he says, I won't stop. Well, we're going to kill you. He says, I'm still not going to stop. He says, look, I see Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of the Father. And I'm going to keep on telling. And they're like, don't, you cannot say what you're saying. Not in here you can't. Because everything that he was talking about was challenging them as religious leaders and their standing in the society that they lived in amongst the Romans. And if you rile up the people, Stephen, if you and your little band of miscreants that are following this dead man, if y'all keep this up, then all of what we have is going to fall apart. The Romans are going to come in here, which they did just a few years later, and they are going to raise this place. Stop it. Said, you can't stop me because I'm free. Because I'm free. We're going to kill you. Do what you got to do. But see, I'm free from your sin. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to righteousness. See, I'm freed from sin and I'm a slave to righteousness. So I'm going to say whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, whatever it is that God has commanded, because I am, that's what I want. And that, church, is unrestrainable. Freedom is not, it cannot be held down. It cannot be held back. Oh, they can kill you. And they did. They did. And people drug him outside of the city and they stoned him. And others saw that. And then in Corinthians, he says, because we've got this hope, we're bold, which gets us to the very next thing, which says, you know, freedom, I've got freedom is, but freedom will be experienced. You can just cross out that is and put a will be. Because I wanted them all to be the same, but, you know, that's bad at grammar. But freedom will be experienced. He said, because of this freedom. And that's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when he says, you know, because of this hope, we're very bold. Because of this freedom. Because we're freed from sin. You know what being freed from sin does for us? We're fearless. Remember the wages of sin? What are they? They're death. But because we're in Christ, because we know that the death that awaits is not death at all. We know that the what those outside of Christ fear, we don't fear. Or at least we're not supposed to. And so he says, do whatever. Yeah, but my way of life is going to be, it's going to be completely destroyed. I mean, that's what they're telling Stephen, guy, you know, look, what all, you know, this really good setup we've got, you know, the Romans and all that, yeah, that's going to go away. Well, I don't know what to tell you. Because see, they wanted this lifestyle. Stephen wanted this relationship with God. See, he was free. They were free to kill Jesus. They were free to not believe. They were free to persecute the prophets. They were free because that's what they wanted. What do we want today? As a church, what do we want? What do we want to accomplish on behalf of God? Because we can. Because we're free. There's no restrictions. There's no limits to what we are able to do on behalf of furthering God's kingdom. What do we want? Because we're free to move in that direction. Well, I don't really want anything. Okay, well, you're free to do that too. But as you're freed to that, you're freed from that. You're a slave to whatever. So this begs the question, does it really exist? Or is freedom just this myth of a word that God uses from his upper story perspective to describe better? I've wrestled with this for a long time, knowing this for a year. Does freedom really exist? You know, I thought about it since last 4th of July when I did the little, does it really exist? So we have to choose. What do you want? What do you want to experience? Because you will. Do you want to experience more of this place? I mean, do we want more money, more stuff, more more room, more this, more that? What do we? Because we'll experience that. What does that lead to? What will we reap if we go that direction? Because we're free to do that. Or do we want more of God? Because see, what he says at the end of that, what will we reap? Eternal life. It will be experienced. He says, we're very bold. If you experience the freedom in Christ, the freedom from sin, the slavery to Christ, we'll be bold. We'll be unstoppable. We'll be killable, but we won't be stoppable. You know, that was the thing about the apostles. After the resurrection, man, you can do anything to those people. I mean, after they witnessed the resurrection and they knew that applied to them, oh, you could beat them. You could stone them. You could starve them. You could imprison them. but you couldn't scare them. Oh, you couldn't scare them at all. They did what they wanted to do. We're going to kill you. We're going to do what we want. I love that. Whenever you're trying to discipline somebody that's not, you're not my dad. I do what I want. Okay. See, we can say that to, hey, world, you're not my father. I do what I want. You can't do that. Not in this country. No, we're going to do what we want. In the name of God, we'll do what we want. Well, you experience slavery to Christ. It starts with a death. A death that's already real. You just have to recognize it. Recognize this death that exists in sin. And accept this life in Christ. Confess Him as Lord. Stop chasing something that's not really there. And choose to be a slave to the only one who can give life. Will you join me as together we stand and sing?